And dozens of protesters enter the Department of Business and Trade in London to call on the British government to end arms sales to Israel. Warm welcome to our studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us. Nearly 6 months into the Israeli genocide in the Gaza Strip, the regime is pushing ahead with its deadly onslaught on the besieged territory. Over the past 24 hours, 62 more Palestinians have been killed in airstrikes. Fresh Israeli bombardments targeted several areas, including the central city of Deir al-Balah. In Gaza City, warplanes once again hit the vicinity of Al-Shifa Hospital. The medical complex has been under direct Israeli attack and fire for nearly 2 weeks. Right now, heavy clashes are also underway in the vicinity of the hospital. Since the onset of the war, more than 550 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza, mostly women and children. Our correspondent Muti Abu Musaba joined us earlier from the central Gaza city of Deir al-Balah to update us on the situation in the war-ravaged strip.
Multiple neighborhoods were targeted and hit relentlessly by the constant and continuous Israeli airstrikes that targeted Al-Shija'iya, Al-Zaytun, and Al-Nasr neighborhoods. The fresh attack in those areas actually was carried out in Al-Shija'iya neighborhood after the Israeli warplanes targeted and destroyed a residential building in that area, claiming the lives of at least three Palestinian civilians, in addition to dozens of the Palestinian injuries from the women and the children. According to multiple eyewitnesses, that the entire square and the entire vicinity of the Al-Shifa medical complex reduced to be mounds of debris over the concentrated attacks that reached the buildings in that area. In Jabalia refugee camp as well, the Israeli warplanes continue their strikes against the central buildings. The most relentless airstrike targeted store of the electrical devices. In Jabalia refugee camp, a big blaze erupted and ignited in that area. In the eastern part of Al-Burej refugee camp, the fierce clashes erupted between the Palestinian resistance and the Israeli occupation forces. It's worth mentioning that Al-Burej refugee camp also was subjected to a brutal ground offensive after the Israeli occupation forces attacked that area a couple of months ago. While when it comes to Khan Yunis city, particularly the western parts of the city, the Israeli warplanes also continue their airstrikes against the surrounding areas of the Nasser medical complex and Al-Amal town. As a result of that continuous and constant Israeli airstrikes and attacks, a Palestinian civilian was reportedly killed.
New footage emerges showing unarmed Palestinian men waving white flags of surrender, are fatally shot by Israeli troops and buried by a bulldozer near Gaza City. The Hamas resistance movement has condemned the regime, saying the footage is further evidence of the scale of fascism and criminality of the Zionist regime. Earlier, we discussed the issue with our guests in the news review program. Let's see what they had to say.
On this segment of the program, the Israeli regime is facing condemnations after new footage emerged showing its forces fatally shooting unarmed Palestinian men on the Gaza beach and burying them by bulldozer. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has denounced Israel and called on the UN and international courts to hold the regime accountable for the crimes being committed in Gaza. It said the footage is, quote, further evidence of the scale of fascism and criminality that governs Zionist behaviors. America's largest Muslim civil liberties and advocacy organization has also deplored the killings. The Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, has demanded an international investigation into what it called the heinous war crime. The footage captured by long-distance camera shows the men walking along the beach waving a white cloth in a sign of surrender before Israeli troops shoot them dead. The regime soldiers then bury the victims with a bulldozer. Well, joining us on this edition of the News Review, we have political analyst Ali Rizk, who's joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Also, we have podcaster and journalist Esha Krishnaswamy joining us from St. Petersburg. Welcome to the program. To the both of you, let's start off with Mr. Rizk. I want to get your perspective on this recent video, which is just depicting one of many war crimes and crimes against humanity the Israelis have committed during this genocide. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says that this video is further evidence of the scale of fascism and criminality that governs the Zionist behaviors. Break that down for us, please.
Well, I think that the Israeli approach from the outset was very clear, the dehumanization of the Palestinians. If you recall, at the beginning of the Israeli military operations, the Israeli Defense Minister, Yoav Gallant, referred to the inhabitants of Gaza as being quote-unquote human animals. And I think that the Israeli behavior and the Israeli military operations that have taken place in Gaza do reflect that particular mindset, the dehumanization of the Palestinians. And I think that this dehumanization element has been especially felt with this current government, which is described as the most right-wing in Israel's history. You have figures like Smotrich, and you have Ben-Gafir and others who have taken the animosity or the hostility to the Palestinians towards a new level or to a new level. This, as I say, is being reflected by the Israeli military action on the ground. But in the end, this all backfires against Israel. When people see these images, I think that that just only harms Israel further. Even the former American President Donald Trump mentioned in a recent interview that Israel was losing the public relations war, if you would like. So it has a lot of negative repercussions for Israel.
Ms. Krishnaswamy, do you agree with our guest, Mr. Rizk, about the damaging effect that all of this is having on the Israeli regime? And also, if you may, the impunity that the Israelis have been enjoying, it's basically pushing even the Israelis' limits as to how grotesque their crimes can be.
Yeah, it is damaging Israeli perception on Israel around the world, but unfortunately, it might not have an effect on ending the impunity just because of the way the UN Security Council is designed. And we all know there is one country that will always veto any resolutions against Israel, the USA. And on Monday, for example, the U.S. abstained on a resolution for ceasefire, while they also, the State Department spokesperson John Kirby, also reiterated that their policy of sending weapons will not change. And there's also evidence that the U.S. wants to have a demilitarized Gaza, i.e. one without any resistance. So combined with this, it's hard to see how their impunity will end if they keep getting unlimited supply of weapons and support from the U.S.
That's it for this edition of our program. Thanks to political analyst Ali Rizk joining us from Beirut, and thanks to podcaster and journalist Esha Krishnaswamy joining us from St. Petersburg. And that's a wrap for this edition of the News Review.
Movement has reiterated its determination to end the Israeli onslaught, saying the regime has failed to achieve any of its declared goals in Gaza.
And the Israeli occupation wants to prolong the battle. It doesn't want to end the war for a simple reason, which is that the Israeli occupation has not achieved any of its goals which it had declared. It hasn't eliminated the resistance. The resistance is still on the ground. It hasn't retrieved the prisoners.
In an interview in Tehran, Haya said Israel wants to prolong the onslaught. He censured Washington's complicity in the crimes committed against Palestinians, saying that the U.S. will pay a heavy price for its support in the genocide in Gaza. The deputy chief of Hamas movement said some Arab countries' support for Palestinians have not been enough. He said the movement was prepared to show flexibility in ceasefire talks for the sake of Palestinians. He added that Hamas does not insist on ruling Gaza alone. Haya also hailed anti-Israel operations in the region, saying the regime has failed to stop such attacks. At least three Israelis have been injured, one of them critically, during a retaliatory operation carried out by a Palestinian in the occupied territory. The shooting operation by a masked man occurred on a road near Ariha, a city in the Jordan Valley. Earlier, we were joined by a correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kandil, for more details.
According to the Israeli military, a masked man arrived at the 90 route, that is in the Jordan Valley, near the Palestinian village of Al-Auja, and opened fire at vehicles there, including a bus. Immediately, the man who opened fire succeeded to flee. A manhunt is taking place in that area. All the entrances to the Jordan Valley, as well as to the city of Ariha, where the operation or the shooting had taken place close to the city of Ariha, has been closed. Palestinians are not allowed to enter the city of Ariha or the Jordan Valley, and the manhunt is still taking place. The Israelis claim that this operation had been carried out by a Palestinian. It's a retaliatory operation and shooting, and the manhunt is still taking place. We have to mention that even without any Israeli, anti-Israeli operations or Palestinian shootings here and there, the Israeli military continues to suffocate Palestinians with numerous Israeli military checkpoints. Every city have checkpoints. If not checkpoints, there are earth mounds as well as metal gates in order to control the Palestinians' movement and to make daily life of Palestinians intolerable.
The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah has conducted fresh retaliatory attacks against Israeli targets in the occupied territories. The twin drone attack hit an Israeli army headquarters in the occupied Safed city. Resistance fighters also targeted the newly formed Liman or Lyman Brigade's headquarters with artillery shells. A round of resistance missile attacks also struck the Israeli cities of Shlomi and Goren in the northern occupied territories. Hezbollah says the retaliatory operations are in response to regime's airstrikes on a Lebanese medical facility on Wednesday that killed several paramedics. Tensions remain high between Hezbollah and Israel since the regime launched its genocidal war in Gaza in early October. Both sides have been exchanging fire, but Israel has intensified its attacks on civilians in Lebanon in recent weeks. Activists have staged a pro-Palestine protest inside the Department of Business and Trades in London, calling on the British government to end arms sales to Israel. Protesters from London for Free Palestine staged a sit-in in the lobby of the building. They chanted slogans such as Stop Arms Sales to Israel while waving Palestinian flags. London for Free Palestine has joined some lawmakers and pressure groups like Campaign Against Arms Trade to revoke arms export licenses to Israel. Advocacy groups believe the UK-licensed weapons are being used by Israel in its genocidal war in Gaza. British officials have called the amount of UK's military exports to Israel relatively small. However, figures show just last year the country exported 42 million euros worth of military equipment to Israel. The Islamic Republic of Iran has distributed a large amount of humanitarian aid among Palestinian refugees in Syria in the holy month of Ramadan as part of its unwavering support for the Palestinian cause. Ibrahim Wahdi has more from Damascus.
In the holy month of Ramadan, and as part of its commitment to Al-Quds International Day, the Islamic Republic of Iran, via its embassy in Damascus, has distributed several tons of humanitarian aid among Palestinian refugees and resistance factions in Syria. The convoy included essential food kits as a gift from the Iranian nation.
The Islamic Republic of Iran and the Axis of Resistance stand by the oppressed Palestinian people in the face of the Western and American support for the Israeli entity, which is not ceased its crimes against the Palestinian people in Gaza. Today's gathering comes within the framework of supporting the resilient and patient Palestinian people.
This gift is part of a series of annual donations offered by the Islamic Republic of Iran to Palestinian refugees during the month of Ramadan in several Syrian cities. According to Palestinian officials, this large amount of aid delivered by Iran is a message of solidarity with and commitment to the Palestinian cause.
This is a significant step within the framework of Iran's support for the resistance of the Palestinian people. This support has been reflected in all forms and means since the victory of the Islamic Revolution under the leadership of Imam Khomeini, may God rest his soul, and whose legacy continued with the leader Imam Ali Khamenei. Therefore, we as Palestinian people and resistance factions appreciate this gift and everything that the Islamic Republic is providing.
The Palestinian factions expressed their gratitude to the Islamic Republic of Iran and for this gift that is presented every year to the Palestinian people.
This aid provided by the Islamic Republic of Iran during the month of Ramadan to the Palestinian people is considered as proof of Iran's great role and the interdependence between the Iranian and Palestinian people. These activities confirm the loyalty of the Palestinian people to the axis of resistance, in addition to the fundamental and strategic role of Syria and Iran in the axis of resistance.
With this humanitarian aid, Iran demonstrates that true support lies in actions rather than more, and it reflects the enduring place of the Palestinian cause in every Iranian's heart.
This gift is not only a gesture of love from the Iranian leadership and people. More importantly, it underscores their unwavering commitment to help their Palestinian brethren wherever they are. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Thanks for being with us. It's bye-bye for now.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
The Limelight.
In Britain, concerns have grown among parliamentarians and human rights groups regarding Britain's arms sales to the Israeli regime amid the ongoing genocidal war in Gaza. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. A recent notable development further established the British government's complicity in the Israeli genocidal war in Gaza, as the UK High Court dismissed a case calling for an immediate halt to British arms exports to the occupied Palestinian territories, despite the massive outcry. Although British arms exports criteria prohibit licensing if there is a clear risk of a weapon being used in serious violations of international humanitarian law, the court overlooked these standards by rejecting the legal challenge mounted by the Palestinian human rights organisation Al-Haq and the UK-based Global Legal Action Network in December. Shawan Jabarin, Al-Haq's general director, understandably slammed the legal verdict. Jabarin said, "The government's decision to continue supplying Israel with weapons to continue its military aggression against Palestinians of Gaza is effectively arming Israel to completely decimate the Gaza Strip, reducing Gaza's vital civilian infrastructure to rubble." In their effort to challenge the court's decision, these organizations sought a judicial review of the Rishi Sunak government's export licenses for the sale of British armaments to Israel. The legal challenge shed light on the British government's license for the sale of British arms to the Israeli regime across various categories, including components for military radars, targeting equipment, combat aircraft and naval vessels. The Campaign Against the Arms Trade research reveals that since 2015, Britain has licensed approximately £472 million in standard arms exports to the Israeli regime, along with 58 unlimited value open licenses. Lacking transparency and permitting unlimited quantities of arms being exported to Israel. Britain's High Court's dismissal comes on the heels of the International Court of Justice's recent order for Israel to take measures to stop its genocidal war against Palestinians in Gaza. The International Court of Justice's interim ruling on South Africa's genocide case against Israel stated that Israel is plausibly committing genocide in Gaza, triggering global pressure on governments across the world to halt their arms exports to Tel Aviv. According to multiple reports, the British government has ramped up arms exports to Israel in recent months to meet the growing demand amid the genocidal war in Gaza. The British government, led by Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, is following in the footsteps of Washington, which has pledged $14.3 billion of military assistance to the Israeli regime. The website warchild.org.uk has also covered the same story and tells us more. Concerns have grown among British parliamentarians and human rights organisations regarding Britain's arms exports to Israel. Tens of thousands of innocent Palestinian civilians have been massacred since 7th of October when Israel launched its brutal war on Gaza. The civilian infrastructure also lies in complete ruins in Gaza. Some members of the British Parliament have expressed worry over the violation of international humanitarian law through their government's arms exports to the Israeli regime. The Scottish Nationalist Party, SNP, has urged the government of Prime Minister Rishi Sunak to put an immediate end to export licences to the Israeli regime and refrain from granting new ones. Human rights groups in Britain have specifically called on the government of Rishi Sunak to halt its arms exports to Israel, citing concerns about potential war crimes against Palestinians. In December, a letter from a consortium of rights groups highlighted Britain's contribution of approximately 15% of components in the F-35 stealth bomber aircraft used in the bombing of the Gaza Strip. The letter read, "Britain provides approximately 15% of the components in the F-35 stealth bomber aircraft currently being used to bomb Gaza, including the rear fuselage, an active interceptor system, ejector seats, aircraft tires, refueling probe, laser targeting system, and a fan propulsion system, adding that the British-supplied components had been utilized by the Israeli regime in previous wars as well, notably during the 2008-2009 war in Gaza. Citing a 2014 review by former British Prime Minister David Cameron, the letter noted, "The commitment to suspend existing licenses for equipment and parts used by the Israeli military if significant hostilities resumed in Gaza." It also referenced international and UK laws, including Articles 6 and 7 of the International Arms Trade Treaty, as well as the UK's strategic export licensing criteria, requiring the British government to halt arms transfers if a substantial risk of serious violations of international humanitarian law or human rights legislation exists. The letter documented unlawful attacks by the Israeli military on various civilian targets since 7th of October, including medical facilities, residential buildings, evacuation convoys, bakeries, water and electricity infrastructure, schools, and the United Nations facilities sheltering displaced Palestinians. The letter asserted that intentional or reckless attacks against the civilian population constitute war crimes. It noted with concern the Israeli military has also used white phosphorus munitions in Gaza, a densely populated area which puts civilians at unnecessary risk. The British government's claims of not providing lethal military equipment to Israel since the start of the war in Gaza in early October are contradicted by a January affidavit filed at the UK High Court. The Department for Business and Trade identified 28 current licenses and 28 pending applications for exporting equipment, most likely to be used by the Israeli occupation forces in their offensive operations in Gaza. 8 human rights groups, including the Campaign Against the Arms Trade and War on Want, pointed to a discrepancy between the government's public stance and the court document, urging clarification on how it ensures weapons licensed for export have not reached Tel Aviv since 7th of October. The human rights groups highlighted concerns about transparency and the British government's clear disregard for mounting evidence of serious violations of human rights law. The group said in a letter sent to the government's publicly stated position on weapons licenses to Israel is difficult to reconcile with what the government had admitted in litigation.
ربنا
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio,
with Sheikh Mahdi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa thana lahu hamdan da'ima. May Allah's peace and blessing be upon the last messenger, the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his pure progeny. Alhamdulillah, we thank him, the Almighty, for allowing us to be amongst his servants, to be amongst the Muslims, to be amongst those who are submitted to him, especially in this month of Ramadan, who has allowed us to be in the circle of those who, inshallah, practice the instructions of the deen and observe fastings and completing the rituals of this holy month. The 12th dua of Sahifa Sajjadiyya, the legacy of Imam Zainul Abidin, is a very good supplication to be recited during the nights of this holy month and throughout the entire year. And this dua is titled Fil I'tiraf wa talab at-tawbati ila Allah Ta'ala, in confession and in seeking repentance toward Allah. Exalted he is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We got to the part that a servant calls Allah by the Ya Arhamar Rahimin, O the most merciful of the merciful, which is the pleasing, the most favorite, or maybe one of the most favorite titles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to be called by that name or by that title. Wa Ya Arhamar, O most merciful of those, manin tabahul mustarhamun, of those toward whom seekers of mercy keep on turning. The nest of those who are seeking mercy is only the gate of Allah. Let's take a break to come back and elaborate more on this phrase of the dua.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
right, respected listeners to IRIB English Radio. This 12th dua of Sahifa Sajjadiyya that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is teaching, Ma'rifatullah, the knowledge of Allah, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the language of dua, Imam introduces or calls upon Allah with these beautiful titles. وَيَا أَرْحَمَا, O the most merciful of those, مَنْ تَابَهُ الْمُسْتَرْحَمُونَ. In the times that we seek mercy, who are we turning to? In the times that we feel helpless, we sense and we find ourselves in a big trouble, that we are stranded, that we are being imprisoned, that we are having no way out, what do we do? Where do we go? Who do we refer? Who do we seek asylum to? Ya arhamu, ya arhama, man intabahu al-mustarhamun. We go to Allah. We go to that merciful Lord that we know that if we turn to Him, His gate is open to us. He will never ever turn His face away from us, no matter what we have done in the past. And same applies to Waliullah, the guardian of Allah on the face of the earth, Imam of Time. Anytime you turn your face away from the Imam, do not make that to be a permanent decision. Quickly change the path and turn back to Imam. It's been said that one of the infallible Imams was passing throughout and through a very small and tiny alley, and apparently one of their lovers or one of those who claimed that love Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam had was in the state of being intoxicated by alcohol. He was drunk. And then by observing and by noticing that Imam has entered this little path, he was shy and he was embarrassed of his action. What did he do was that he took a piece of cloth, put it on his face toward the wall so that once Imam is passing by, would not recognize him. What Imam did was he stopped by. He said, he called his name. He called him by his name and Imam said, never turn your face away from us. Even if you are in a situation that situation is embarrassing, do not ever turn your face away. Ya arhama man intabahu al-mustarhamun. The worst decision is that anytime we need to have mercy upon us, we seek that mercy from anyone else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nest of mercy seekers is Allah. Let's take a quick break and come back.
Listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
All right, respected listeners to IRIB English Radio, describing the language of 12th du'a of Sahifa Sajjadiyya by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. He is calling out Allah with the most beautiful and heartwarming terms and phrases. What he says, وَيَا أَعْطَفَ مَنْ أَتَافَ بِهِ الْمُسْتَغْفِرُونَ. O tenderest, O the most flexible of those around whom run seekers of forgiveness. Anyone who is going to do istighfar, who is there to seek forgiveness, will do tawaf, will run around you because you are the most flexible. In the Holy Quran, there's a term, there's a beautiful verse that says, "In utum udna," if you turn back, we turn back. That's why the current situation of everyone, that very, very moment that you're living through right now is what that is the matter. The past is past. The future is the future. This moment that you're living in right now is very important. In this moment, if you turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if your death comes up, then that's what that will conclude the chapter or the last chapter of your life in this dunya. And that is the definition of aqibatul khair, having a good ending. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mahdi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواه از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را یا سجاد.
Iranian Radio Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
30 ayahs, 30 days. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Noble Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors, peace be upon them. Every faithful person too, according to the extent that they had learnt from the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, embarked on this heavy duty. So the ulama or Muslim scholars took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job until present day. Today this duty has become even more important because of a broad assault of the enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. Today, in the 17th episode of this series, we're going to dwell upon ayahs 39 and 40 of Surah Hajj of the Holy Quran and explain its message of struggling against oppression. Please stay with us. It is very important in Islam to know wrongdoing and oppression. It has even been understood by oppressors and wrongdoers themselves. That's why they try to show their wrongdoing as trivial in the eyes of the people. This is what we can see in cyberspace today. In other words, oppressors and violators of human rights try to exonerate themselves of any wrongdoing and try to justify their heinous crimes that they have committed. Nowadays, the crimes taking place in Gaza are called self-defense by the media, whereas it's an extra oppression enforced on a nation which has suffered from occupation, massacre, and all sorts of crimes and tortures over the past 75 years. The Palestinian people have been denied their basic rights, their right to determine their own fate and other fundamental rights, while the image of the occupying regime is being beautified and shown as oppressed and innocent more than ever. After 75 years that the oppressed people of Palestine have decided to take on the brutal Israeli regime with their armed struggle, this is being portrayed as a wrongdoing by the Zionist regime. Allah, in ayahs 39 and 40 of Surah Hajj in the Holy Quran, says, "Those who are fought against are permitted to fight because they have been wronged, and Allah is indeed able to help them. Those who were expelled from their homes unjustly only because they said Allah is our Lord. Had not Allah repulsed the people from one another, ruin would have befallen the monasteries, churches, synagogues, and mosques in which Allah's name is mentioned greatly, and Allah will surely help those who help Him. Indeed, Allah is strong and invincible. For sure, Allah has allowed the oppressed in the world to help them, and He has promised to help them." Now you may well ask, why doesn't God Himself uproot oppression? The answer has been given in Ayah 4 of Surah Muhammad in the Holy Quran. That is Allah's ordinance, and had Allah wished, He could have taken vengeance on them, but He may test some of you by means of others. No doubt, The growth and perfection of human beings will occur in tests and hardships. When a seed wants to grow to turn into a robust tree, it should be put in the soil and tolerate the pressure of the soil. Then it goes deep into the soil to come up and grows to become a sapling and then a tree. The Almighty has ordained oppressors a means for testing the faithful and helping them grow. This will distinguish a faithful person from an unfaithful person. The world is the scene of combat and conflict between faith and disbelief, justice and injustice. This will cause flourishing of capacities and potentials. Another question which may cross your mind is, how do oppressors become powerful? The answer is clear. An oppressor becomes powerful when some people accept his wrongdoing and are indifferent towards his wrongdoing. An emphatically recommended principle in Islam is that we should neither wrong nor be wronged. Ayah 279 of Surah Baqarah in the Holy Quran tells the faithful that they neither wrong anyone nor are they wronged by others. According to the hadith, there are many oppressed in hell who are suffering the punishment of hell because they were able to repulse oppression, but they didn't, and this made the oppressor intrepid and more oppressive. Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, 3 days before Ashura, quoting from his grandfather, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, said, "Anyone who sees an oppressive ruler turning God's haram or forbidden act into halal or permitted act, breaching Allah's covenant, opposing the practice of Allah's messenger, wronging among the servants of Allah, but then he does not oppose him verbally or practically, it behooves Allah to cast him in the place of that oppressive ruler." We should not forget that being pleased with the deed of an oppressive person is equal to oppression. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, says, "Anyone who is pleased with the deed of a people is like the one who has accompanied them, and he who turns towards a falsehood has in fact committed two sins, the sin of doing the false deed and the sin of being pleased with it." As a matter of fact, being pleased with falsehood is not a petty sin, and will incur God's punishment. For instance, the people of Thamud, the people of Prophet Saleh, didn't oppose the divine order about the camel, which was the miracle of Prophet Saleh, peace be upon him. Only one man cut off the camel's legs and killed it, but God punished them all. Why? Because they were pleased with the action. Now the Zionist regime is massacring Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, with full support of the United States and various European countries, while most of the Arab governments are just spectators to the crimes being committed by the Israeli regime. The so-called international organizations are also tacitly looking on as the genocide wreaked by the Israelis is unfolding in Gaza. For sure, these organizations and governments are complicit in the Israeli regime's crimes and atrocities in Gaza. All these governments and organizations are able to at least express their opposition in public, but not a single word is heard from them. Yet, we believe that the oppressed people of Palestine and all the oppressed peoples of the world will take revenge. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, says, "The day of the oppressed against the oppressor is harsher than the day of the oppressor against the oppressed." You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you. This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day,
on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Well, we have a right to ask questions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a lot of questions, and definitely every servant has a right to ask questions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can ask from Allah, oh Allah, why there's a Ramadan? Why this month of fasting? Well, every mu'min has right. Every mu'min has right to ask questions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is good. There's no issue with it. And those who want to find the answers, why this is wajib, why that is mustahab, why this is haram, why that is makruh, there is a beautiful book from Shaykh Saduq, Rizwanullah alayh, Ilal al-Sharayi'. If you want to know the reasons why this is wajib, why that is haram, why this is mustahab, why that is makruh, we have to buy this book and start reading this book. This book contains a lot of beautiful hadith. Well, today we are going to discuss about this beautiful hadith, which is from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, "Innama summiya al-Ramadan li'annahu yarmidu al-zunub." We all have a bunch of sins on our shoulders. We all have done, or we all have committed a lot of mistakes, sins. We have lots of shortcomings in our lives. We have missed lots of time, if not lots, maybe sometimes or most of the times, or maybe less of the times. We have missed our duties, which was obligatory on us. So for any reason, but we have a lot of sin on our shoulder. And there's a beautiful ayah, Quran says, O people of faith, stand up for yourself and for your family. And in that ayah, Allah says, by praying, with the help of salat, by the help of praying, you can kill or you can eliminate or you can destroy all of your sinful actions or your sins. And it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So same here, in the month of Ramadan, Allah says, Imam Sadiq salam, Rasul al-Khuda sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَ الرَّمَضَانِ لِأَنَّهُ يَرْمِزُ الزُّنُوبِ. So why Ramadan is called Ramadan? Because the meaning of Ramadan, يَرْمِضُ, is burning out something. So if this month burns out our sins, if we have a lot of sin, but if we fast, and my brother and sisters, we have to be very smart and we have to be sharp. We should know that what is the true meaning of fasting. Fasting is not only being hungry for the whole day. No. Fasting means when you fast, your eyes fast, your nose fast, especially, very especially, your tongue fast. No more backbiting, no more lies, no more ghiba, no more hurting others, no more teasing others. Fasting means when you fast, you're fasting with your ear as well. You're fasting with your hands. You never touch haram. You never point out any haram. When you fast, you're fasting with your legs. Your legs are not going to take you anywhere, where is haram happening. So make sure when you're fasting with your entire existence. The sign of that entire existence fasting is you're fasting from food. Yes, this is the very basic one. But the person who's fasting, he's going to take care of all his organs. Well, in this beautiful hadith, Imam Rasul Khuda, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is saying, إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَ الرَّمَضَانِ لِأَنَّهُ يَرْمِدُ الزُّنُوبِ. So you have a lot of sins on your shoulders, but when you fast, and when you truly fast with your entire existence, with your all of your organs, basically you're burning out your all sins, what you have committed.